Okay, so we've reached the end of our series. We're going to actually open the Word of God here eventually. But we are finishing this series, Begin Anew. We've walked through it. It's the basics of Christian discipleship, and we've taught about this over the course of 16 teachings, including this one, and those teachings over the course of several months. I have found it refreshing and regrounding, and I hope you have too. So we've talked about four words that characterize the entire series, all beginning with the letter B: believe, belong, become, and behave. Believing in God, in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the grace of God for our lives. Belonging in a community with purpose, unity, and vision like this one. Becoming mature through reading the Bible and prayer and giving and connecting in smaller groups than this experience. And then behaving like Jesus by acting like him. We've been saying that Jesus, speaking of how he behaved, was a nonviolent, God-dependent, Spirit-empowered servant of God. And that was his disposition, his posture towards life. It positioned him for ministry and mission, to care for others and to share the gospel. Last Sunday, we talked about ministry. This morning, we're going to talk about mission. So, welcome to M&M Sunday, ministry and mission. By the way, if you've been wondering, why is it so hot in here? I know. I have contacted the board office a couple of times to express that it's a smidge too warm in here. Because we asked for heat a while ago, and man, they blessed us with some heat, right? We can't win. It's pretty funny. Okay. I have four bags, but I'll explain later. I have three bags of M&Ms to give away, it's quiz time, to anyone who can answer any of the following fill-in-the-blank review questions from last Sunday's teaching. I don't recall, Doug, if I get, I recall now. All Christians are what? There's two different answers here, almost similar questions. One is two and one is four, so it's only the prepositions that are different. All Christians are called. Please, let's be civilized and raise our hands here. Yes, sir? Called is correct, sir. Called to ministry. Well done. I could have given it to any one of you. Well done. I heard that. Secondly, all Christians are, if your hand, thank you for your hand. Yes? Gifted. Yes, gifted for ministry. Sharon continues to blurt the answers out. She's two for two, though. You're doing really well, Sharon. Put your hand up now. All Christians can be something to ministry and do what they do, that ministry, with something. Really, you should get two packs here, but I only have one. These are peanuts, by the way, and although we're having a allergy-sensitive, gluten-free communion, I went with peanuts here. That was a bad call. So sorry about that. If you have a peanut allergy, I'll be happy to get you some M&M's chocolate otherwise. Any thoughts? It's two. It's tough, eh? I barely remember these things, and I preach them. So I'll give you a hint. The first blank, all Christians can be. C is the first letter. If you're really in what? Called is good, but it was the first blank. Committed. Who said that? Committed. Okay, and you, okay. So if we're going to commit to something, and it's in the name of Jesus, Paul says we have to do everything then, and this is Colossians chapter 3, 17 and 23. The power of the Spirit. And the power of the Spirit. Incorrect. Yay. But it's a good answer. But it's only one blank. It's that power in the, I mean, it's that four blank. It's a Jesus, yes, yes. Yeah. Using your gifts? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 or 23. Take your pick. The word's sitting right there, and it is otherwise, I hope, Right there. Yes, Carla? Can't hear it? Love. Yeah, no, it's a good answer. No. Yes. Grace is also a good answer. Also a no. Yes. Confidence is also a good answer. No. Yes.
3:17?
The. Yeah. You're going to stick with this answer.
Say no.
Giving thanks. Also no. Okay, so let me put it this way. When you go to work, when you're hired by an employer, and you are committed to doing it, you commit to doing it, how do you commit to it? To do it poorly? To do it mediocre? And remember, this is the Lord of the universe we're working for, people. Colossians 3:23, work as at everything as if working for the Lord. So how are we going to do that?
Excellence.
With excellence! I'm going to let you, Ray, split that with Kim.
Peanuts are not.
Like right now is fine with me. I was thinking later after the service. Yeah, so it's... Don't matter. Okay? So we are called, gifted, and all of us can commit. In fact, that's the invite. That is what is asked of us. To commit to do ministry with excellence. That's the deal. And there are so many ways to activate your spiritual gifts here at Crossroads. Okay, so here's a short list. Kids Zone, registration staff, teacher, helper, nursery worker, youth. You can be on the snack team. You can be a driver. You can be a youth worker. You can be a teacher next door if you want. Young adult. You can be the small group host. You can be a group leader. You can be the admin person. You can be the snack coordinator, the event organizer. Adults, men's ministry leaders, women's ministry leaders, retreat leaders, prayer team. We have a group of six Crossroads folks who are gifted intercessors. You're going to see two of them today lead in prayer over our offering. They pray for each other and also for our church. Setup team, we are always looking for people who are willing to help set up on Sunday mornings for our worship time together. People who could lead a team, or people who could be team members. Greeters, we are always looking for friendly people to welcome people at the door on Sunday mornings. Our audiovisual team, we are always looking for people who are gifted at setting up and monitoring our Sunday morning sound and visuals. Worship team, we are always looking for gifted musicians and singers to join our team of folks who lead us in worship every Sunday morning. You can see Dan Wyke, who was up here this morning, or Tony Ronborn, who was also up here this morning to set up an interview when you'll get a chance to share your testimony, and you'll get a chance to demonstrate your ability and your readiness to be placed in a worship rotation. Teaching team. We have a number of gifted preachers in our congregation. Perhaps you feel called to preach or gifted to preach. We want to give you that chance, too, to do that. Support ministries. So, photographer, IT persons, church stats, LT member. LT standing for leadership team member. Meal train coordinator, baby or wedding showers coordinator. Just think and pray about your giftedness and plug in, commit. Contact a staff member and give something a try for a season. It's a crucial part of our discipleship, and it's a blessing to others. But don't limit yourself to thinking on these ministries I've mentioned only. Maybe you have the gift of craftsmanship, and you'd like to build things for the kids or the youth or young adults or adults, like all of our setup carts, like this cross to my left. Maybe you have the gift of creative communication, and you'd like it or you'd like to offer it to us in terms of writing or doing drama or maybe dance. Maybe you have the gift of hospitality and you'd like to open your home to any newcomers. In other words, don't limit your thinking to what I mentioned as what's in extent here, but beyond that, imagine, right? We have described ministry as what we do in service of each other in the church, and mission as what we do by way of reaching out to people outside of the church. Like Jesus, who cared for his disciples and taught them, but who also healed those outside of that circle and shared the good news with the masses. It's a kind of false dichotomy, actually, to talk about ministry and mission as different things, but it's helpful for the purpose of clarity, to be reminded that healthy Christian discipleship has an inward and an outward component. This said, both ministry and mission are best done when we, like Jesus, offer our whole selves to it. This is why I always encourage you to take the SHAPE survey in our bulletin, to know yourself more broadly than just your spiritual gifts, which we did last Sunday, for instance, so that you can best align yourself, personality, experiences, ambitions, all those pieces to certain ministries and specific missions. Now, that said, I'm going to ask you five questions basically this morning, and I'm going to share a few stories around them as my answers to them that walk towards that SHAPE inventory. So we're getting beyond just the spiritual gifts, we're getting to experiences specifically. So first question, what spiritual experiences have you had, and how might they impact how you do ministry or mission? What spiritual experiences? So, as many of you know, I grew up Catholic. So I have a heart for Catholics who are looking to have a healthy and thoughtful relationship with Jesus Christ versus what was my experience, and that was religiosity, rules, rituals, regulations, and routines. I would say, though, I felt called to ministry in the Catholic Church as an altar boy and at home and at peace serving in the church, even there and then. I met God on a different pathway when I lost my license to drinking and driving, my DUI. These are all spiritual experiences in my life. My DUI physically and spiritually sobered me. I met Jackie as a result of losing my license that year, and I began a season of intentional Christian discipleship at that same time in my life, which would never have happened without that loss, right? I got to know God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit as I dug deep into the scriptures at that time in my life in a small group of men and through my studies towards a degree in Bible studies. That was such an incredibly rich spiritual time in my life. I was eating up the Word of God and gobbling up the wisdom of my spiritual siblings. I was baptized as a believer in a Baptist church in my 20s. I got married in that church. I led my first ministries in that church. I preached my first sermon in that church. I was ordained in that church. I still have great friends in that church. But perhaps my most significant spiritual experience so far in my life was coming here, stepping out in faith to leave a position I loved in Ontario, to move away from all of my family and friendship contacts, to move to a place I had never been before, to do ministry and mission with a bunch of people I had never met before, to be a lead pastor for the first time in my life. Oh, how God has blessed me and my family, how he guided us here, how he has supported us through these 15 years. It's been phenomenal. How about you? How would you finish this sentence? I had a significant spiritual experience when, and you can mark it in your mind and in your heart, and how has it affected you in terms of ministry and mission? Second question. So what spiritual experiences? The second is, what painful experiences have you had in your life? And how might they impact how you do ministry or mission? Paul shares this encouragement in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And this is how our pain can function. Sometimes our greatest strengths for ministry come out of a weakness or a time of pain. What painful experiences or personal weaknesses might help you to minister to others out of compassion, right? Addiction, illness, an accident, a moral failure, death of a loved one, an abortion, an abuse, a bankruptcy, a divorce. My parents divorced in their 25th year of marriage. Happy anniversary. I'm sure it was painful for them up to and out of their divorce, but it was also quite painful, and it continues to be, for me and for my siblings. Their divorce shook my emotional and my philosophical foundations. For instance, the foundation of marriage. I thought married meant forever. Something committed, something lasting. If their marriage didn't last, what would make me think in arrogance that mine would if I got married? The foundation of family. The heir family of my childhood simply doesn't exist anymore. My dad is remarried, now longer married to his second wife than he was ever to my mother. I now have two stepsisters who I barely know. I don't have a house to go home to anymore. I can go to Ontario to a house that my dad has with his wife, or I can go to a tiny apartment in Quebec where my mom lives alone. And this isn't to disparage either one of them. I adore both of them. This is just part of my painful journey. And then the foundations of foundations. So if marriage doesn't work, if my family doesn't work, what am I going to build my life on since those things have crumbled? Right? My parents' divorce has made me, and obviously in relationship with Jesus Christ now, which wasn't true then, it's made me compassionate towards those who have suffered some loss like that. It has affected my ministry life towards an emphasis on marriage and family and reconciliation. So how about you? How would you finish this sentence? One of my most painful experiences in life was when... So, one of my most painful... One of my most significant spiritual experiences was, this is how it informs how I do ministry and mission. One of my most painful experiences, this. What impact does it have on how I do ministry and mission? Third question. What educational experiences have you had that might help you in your ministry or mission? So the proverb goes this way, hold on to instruction, don't let go of it. Guard it well, for it is your life. Knowledge and skills can help us to be effective in ministry and mission. What schooling or classes or workshops have you attended that have been particularly helpful for you? What qualifications or skills have you acquired? Again, speaking for me, to illustrate the point, I have a Bachelor of Arts in Honors Psychology from the University of Waterloo. In Waterloo, Ontario. I have a Bachelor of Education from Laurentian University in Sudbury. I have a Bachelor of Biblical Studies from Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And that all took around 7 years. If you believe in spiritual trajectory as I do, then I see all of these education pieces as foundational for me as shepherd, teacher, and church leader. Back in the day, I took all of the Sun Life Ministries courses I could possibly take. It was a ministry, still is, that helped folks sort of shape their ministry life. They helped me shape my ministry life after the model of God's Son, hence the name Sun Life. And in the It was four, I don't know, we're stuck on these things, three or four. It was win, build, equip, multiply. Win people to Christ, which is a biblical expression, winning. Build them in their faith, equip them for ministry, and then send them out. These, those that you have reached, shared the gospel with, help them grow in their ministry, help them develop a ministry life for themselves, to go out then and do the same with others. And so I have never seen my discipleship as mostly about coming to church or going to a Bible study, as if growing in my faith was primarily about consumption. But I have, for as long as I can remember, visualized my discipleship as including these pieces: reaching out to others by word and by deed with the gospel of Jesus, building believers in their faith, equipping them for ministry, using self-awareness tools like the SHAPE survey that I spoke of earlier, and then giving them chances to plug into ministries, and commissioning them to do with others as I've done with them. I'm a certified biblical coach, which has helped me to listen better and to ask better questions, and I am a recent Arrow Leadership graduate, which has helped develop my leadership skills towards self-awareness and organizational health. How about you? How would you finish this sentence? I have graduated from, or I've gained skills in, that have helped me in my ministry, in my mission. Question 4. What work experiences have you had that might help you in your ministry and mission? M&M. Our workplaces, school, work, wherever it might be, often provide an excellent training ground for ministry and mission. And not just if we work in a church or a parachurch organization. Essentially, wherever we use our knowledge and skills in service of others in the name of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is ministry. And it can prepare us for other ministry and mission opportunities. I'll give you an example. The work I do is pastoral, and it prepares me for ministry and mission. There is a professional office across the hall from our church office. We're in an office building of 4 different offices. We've developed a really good relationship with Mike and Derek and Tanya. Mike, the owner of a renovation company, Derek, his foreman, and Tanya, their administrative support. None of them can believe that I'm stepping away from my job here at Crossroads. In fact, when I see them, they say, "You aren't gone yet?" And they all think it's crazy to do that 6 months ahead by saying I'm leaving and not leave until the middle of June or the end of June. Then I did some mission stuff. I explained to them how faith works in my life. And then I talked to them about the difference between contractual communities like their workplace where people fire each other and covenantal communities like ours at Crossroads that do things together, that decide things together, that lead together. It was a super rich conversation, actually. I got to talk about the power of faith community and the reasonableness of placing my faith in a God who made me and loves me and has been faithful to me all of my life. It's not so different for you. There are things you do at work or at school that you can use for ministry and mission. As a student, doctor, lawyer, teacher, farmer, financial manager, cleaners, work safety consultants, mechanics, social workers. This is all you, by the way. Salespersons, care workers, firefighters, business owners and managers, construction workers, physiotherapists, accountants, factory workers, food services, woodworkers, municipal workers. Finish this sentence. In my work environment, I have the opportunity to do what? And it sets me up for, and sometimes just is, ministry and mission. Last question. What ministry experiences have you had that might help you in your ministry or your mission? It stands to reason, doesn't it, that ministry experiences can help you in ministry and mission. Here are a pair of sentences to complete within this context. In light of your spiritual or painful or educational or work experiences, the ministry that I have most enjoyed doing is. And then the ministry I've done where I've seen the most spiritual fruit is. They are usually the same. Now, taking what we have learned over these last two Sundays, that we are called and gifted to ministry and mission, and to do so with commitment and excellence, and that our spiritual, painful, educational work and ministry experiences can all inform and leverage ministry and mission. Let me ask you, do you think that you are currently in the best possible ministry situation in our church, keeping in mind that short list of ministry opportunities I listed earlier, but not limiting yourself to those? If not, what ministry do you think might make the most sense for you to try for a season? Maybe even this upcoming summer season. If you aren't active in some ministry within our church, I'm just going to ask you, why not? Not to make you feel bad, but to, again, this is a discipleship piece. This is not a guilt piece. What's keeping you from committing? And as you think about the community beyond Crossroads, how and where do you think you might use your experiences to reach out to others with the gospel by word and by deed? Are you drawn to a special concern, for instance, like creation care or assisting the poor or at-risk children or abused or trafficked women in our community or divorce recovery or homelessness? Do you have experiences or skills to offer our community, like coaching? Are you involved in personal evangelism? Are you praying for people, serving people, talking to them about the difference your faith makes in your life? Are you involved in any local or global missions work? Here again, there's a number of ways at Crossroads to reach out to others beyond Crossroads in partnership with each other and other churches and parachurch organizations. Here again is a short list. Locally, through our seasonal family outreaches, like the block party we had in the fall, like Friday Night Basketball, which we just did, the drop-in, like helping out at Cyrus Center for Youth, caring for students at Vetter Middle School, the VMS Hangout, middle of the week on Wednesdays, prepping, serving, eating a meal, worshiping with folks at Ruth and Naomi's Mission. And here are three new ones. The VMS Breakfast Club. So this school, having understood that what we really want to do as a church is come alongside and help as we can without preaching the word specifically, has said, would you be also willing to consider helping us partner in a Vetter Middle School Breakfast Club, which just started this past January? Noticing they had kids coming that had that need, they have made it known to us. Here's how you could be involved if you would want to. It's every day, Monday through Friday, from 7:30 to around 8:20, so not even an hour of your time, if you wanted to volunteer and be here and help out. It takes place in this space over here to my right, which is their cafeteria. If you don't have time for that, basically, they need someone to do a Costco run every week to get the supplies for what they use. So that would be bagels, cream cheese, stuff like that. If you can't do that, you are welcome to send. We can't send foods along because there's sort of food safe stuff that we have to observe and honor. We can't bake things for them because we don't know how they're prepared. It's contaminated with other things, so we can't do that. But if you thought to set aside some money to fund that even, I'm sure they would be happy to receive the support that you might give them. If you're interested in that, and by the way, the PAC of this school funded it to begin with, and so that's why that's probably going to be a need sooner than later. If you're interested in that and helping out, give kids who come to school hungry, because the stats are pretty solid on this. If kids are hungry, they don't learn as well. Let me know, and I'll furnish the information that you'll need. It's Cheryl Lytle is the counselor we're working through here at school. Second opportunity, and this is why I brought this, is called Case for Smiles. So this is a pillowcase And it was made by Shirley. And Shirley has bumped into this organization called Case for Smiles. Essentially, it was started years ago in the States when a little boy was at a hospital and someone came with a care package, but the thing he enjoyed the most in it was the pillowcase, the bright, colorful, age-appropriate pillowcase that he got, because that extended stay was made better by that versus the generic white hospital pillowcase. So I actually asked Shirley for a sample, and then I said, I would like that one. Can I have that one? I didn't spend any time in the hospital. I just thought it'd be a good thing to have for illustrative purposes. Shirley, it would be happy to connect with anybody who'd be interested in that. So basically, it's not. She tells me, not a ton of work, but you're putting pillowcases together. You're cutting fabric, and you're sewing fabric, and you can send them away to someone who locally now is doing it out of, I think, Surrey or Aldergrove in that area. And it's nationwide, so it's kind of neat. Case for Smiles. And the very last of these is something you'll see at the back on our info table. It is a soccer camp this summer that is being hosted by Chilliwack Alliance Church. And there are funds that are available for campers to go, and there are forms for you to sign that if you need that help. But what they're asking for is any volunteer help that you might have. The information for the camp is at the back, and this is sort of tied into what we're doing with City Life and what we do here at Veteran Middle School. So there's all kinds of really cool things going on that God is doing, that he's inviting us into. Here's what I've told myself, whether it's true or not, that I might be leaving, but God's not going anywhere, right? He is with us, with you, and is inviting you into a brilliant future. Just won't include me. Sorry. If that's news to you, I'm sorry to hear that. That was local stuff. Globally, we've been sending short-term missions teams to the San Quintin Valley in the Baja of Mexico for the past 7 years to work with One Life, One Chance International alongside indigenous pastors and people to bring relief and development in the name of Jesus Christ. We have a team of 13 going this summer, led by Tony, as you saw and heard earlier, and Paul Thompson. And as many of you know, we are having our annual meal auction in support of the team here tonight at 7 p.m. But here again, don't limit your thinking to only these opportunities. Examine your experiences. Pay attention to that inner urge and that outer confirmation of calling that we talked about. Know your spiritual gifts, and then look for opportunities to serve where your compassion takes you outside of these four walls. Because as Chuck Swindoll's church said, I remember this, I don't know why you remember some things, not others, but there's a posting, a placard, on the wall as you're heading outside of that church, and it says, you are now entering the mission field. And we all are, every day. Ministry and mission. We are built for M&M. I have one last package of M&Ms to give away to Jeffrey Decker, who I'm going to call up at this time. If he's still here, he's right there. Very good. If you would welcome Jeff to the front with me, please. And I'll give this to you. And if you could hold that. So Jeffrey is heading out, and I wanted you to know that, and I wanted to give you a chance to pray for him. So I'll invite a few people up in a moment. But first questions first, where are you going?
I'm going to New Zealand, to Cape and Ray, for 2.5 months. I'm doing their outdoor adventure program, and then for 6 weeks, 10 weeks, and then going to their base camp for the rest of the semester.
Fantastic. And when do you leave? Like, is it in a week,
next
isn't
week.
It? Is it next week?
Next week, Saturday.
You're leaving Easter weekend?
Yep.
Oh, I bet your mom's happy about that, eh?
That's why we're
not having her ball. Oh, that's right. You are backing it up to today. That's right. Good stuff. Second question. Do you have a sense of what you'll be doing in that time?
So the adventure program, we'll be exploring New Zealand in that program. So we'll be hiking, biking, going 7-day camping trips,
awesome.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there and then at the base camp, I'm not quite sure. Just joining in on what they're doing and exploring through the Bible and stuff like that.
Okay. So there's, go ahead.
And then after that, I will be traveling New Zealand for another week, and then traveling Australia for 3 weeks after that, and my mom will be joining me for the last 2 weeks.
Nice! That's fantastic. I didn't ask you to be prepared for this question, but I'm sorry about that. So, what's driving this? What's inspired this? Like, why do this?
Parents offered it up, and so...
So hold on.
They offered to pay for me to go to Bible school. They said wherever I want. Like my sister did. She went to England.
Okay.
And I've always wanted to go to New Zealand, and so this is a good opportunity to go to New Zealand and Australia. So I figured I'd take it.
Yeah.
And then go traveling afterwards as well.
Brilliant. I'm covetous a little bit of your youth your height, but your youth. And that's really cool. So just to recap, your parents wanted you out of the house.
Yep.
For an extended period of time.
Yep.
And they couched this nicely and we'll send you to Bible college.
Yep.
That's great. If you can, send your kids or support them in these kinds of experiences, boy, I encourage it. How can we pray for you?
Travels go well, and then God does what he wants to do when I'm away.
Yeah, in your life and all around you, eh?
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Then I'm going to ask you, if you would, church family, to all stand with Jeffrey and I, and some of you come forward if you wouldn't mind to lay hands on Jeff, just to pray for him, family and friends, and we'll do that, and then we will go into communion, okay? Great. Thank you so much for coming forward. Those who haven't, you can pray where you are, but as it's been our practice at Crossroads just to do this as by way of physical encouragement, but also in terms of prayer. So who would ever like to take the mic first? I would. And encourage you to do that. Thank you, Dale.
Dear Lord, we're excited for Jeff that he is, listening to his parents and getting to see some amazing things and digging into your word and who he is and who he wants to become as an adult. And we pray for health and safety and good travels next week. And that, you'd prepare his heart to make new friends and learn new stuff about you. And, yeah.
God, I thank you so much for this family. I thank you for the way that Brian and Jocelyn have encouraged their kids to know you. And I thank you for the tenderness in Jeff's heart that he wants to know you more. And I just pray that, as he said, that when he goes there, that you would do your will in his life, that he would know you more, that his faith would grow stronger, and that he would be able to come home and witness to his friends and the people that he works with. And I just pray for safety for him as he travels. I pray for that his heart would just be open to the things that you want to do in his life. I pray for safety for their whole group, for their camp, as they adventure, that their health would be taken care of, and that you would take care of Jocelyn as she meets him in Australia, and that he would just never forget these experiences and the time that he grew closer to you and became the man that you want him to be. Thank you for him.
Father, I love the way Dale began his prayer. You're excited for Jeff. I think that's true. It's like any father who loves his kid. This is adventure. This is learning what we talked about earlier. This is opportunity. And I'm glad for Jeff that he has said yes to it. Now, what he didn't say, and what he might not even feel, but I certainly would, is excited, but that's a long way from home. And that takes a fair amount of courage to be away. So I pray that you would fill him with your courage, that you would fill him with your sense of adventure, that you would fill him with a desire, not just to get to know more stuff, not even stuff about you, but to get to know you really well, differently. That he would come back, and I know he will actually, a changed young man, a man with stories, not just about where he went, although that's going to be kind of cool to hear, but what you have done in his life. May he be looking for it. May he be clear when he sees it. When he sees it, may he say to you, Papa, thank you so much for loving me the way you do, for showing me these things. And it goes without saying, but we're not going to go without praying it. We pray that you'd protect him. Because as family of faith here, as parents up here, we look at our children and we love them and we want them to be safe because love protects. Would you protect Jeffrey as he travels, he and his classmates as they get there, during their traveling time, even after they get there, and get him home safely, Father? Would you do those things for us? Because we trust you and we entrust Jeff to you. In Jesus' powerful and precious name we pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. There you go. That's for ministry and mission. All right. Thanks, buddy. Very good. Open your Bibles quickly to Luke chapter 22, if you would, please. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through to 20. I'm going to be reading from the Holman version. It might sound a little different than yours. This is the Lord's Supper, the first of them, actually. When the hour came, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and share it amongst yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. This was the last time Jesus would eat the Passover meal with his disciples. The meal that commemorates God's rescue of Israel out of Egypt. But Jesus does more here. Jesus expands its meaning and its practice. Whereas the Passover lamb's applied blood caused the destroyer to pass over each household as the last of the plagues before the Exodus, Jesus became the Passover lamb for all humanity, whose shed blood causes God's judgment to pass over sinners and gives life to all believers. And just as the first Passover was to be remembered in an annual feast, Christians are to take these elements of bread and juice representing Christ's broken body and shed blood and take them in remembrance of Jesus until he returns, which is Paul's instruction in 1 Corinthians. So this morning, we will remember together our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself in whole to his ministry and his mission. So I'm going to give you a chance to reflect quietly on that while I ask a couple volunteers, maybe, four would be great if I could have four come forward at this time to hand out, firstly, the bread. And then we'll take it all together when Anne has finished praying and I invite you to take the elements together. Okay? And then we'll do the same thing with the juice. So if I can get four volunteers, please.